Well, good morning and welcome to the Team Glacken Monday Morning Motivational Call. This is Senior Master Coordinator Jennifer Glacken, and I'm going to be your moderator and host for this morning's call. Every single Monday, we come together to get our business off on the right foot, to be thinking ahead to the week and the months and the year that we've set out before us and all of our goals. I say this on a regular basis. I'm just going to say it again. Hopefully, I say it a little different each time so somebody will hear it differently. But in a corporate job or any other type of job that we go to, we have to think about that job. We've got accountability. We've got responsibility. There's somebody sort of watching over our shoulder to make sure that we get done what we're supposed to get done. With a Shackley business, all of that motivation and responsibility for getting yourself to do the things that you know you should do is up to us. And one of the ways that we help keep ourselves accountable and also help keep ourselves in the game is to come to meetings like this. So our Monday morning calls, our Saturday team calls, it's at the front end of the week and the back end of the week, to sort of keep ourselves on track, motivated, and inspired to continue building our Shackley businesses. Every single call, we either talk about a business topic, a product topic, or a personal development topic. Today, we're going to take one of the pieces of the process, and we're going to dive into that a little bit more clearly. But before we do that, I just want to remind everybody about the Team Glacken Leadership Summit coming up this weekend in Chicago. Yes, I know everybody wants to go to Chicago in January when it's snowy out and cold, but there's not a whole lot of snow in Chicago, so you might as well do that. So this coming Saturday, we have Presidential Master Sean Gray, who will be our keynote speaker. He spoke down in Florida for Tony and Debbie Underwood back in October, and he's doing something relatively similar. He's going to be talking about network marketing. He's going to share the Shackley Dream Plan, our opportunity, and really show how massive of a business you can build in this industry and in Shackley specifically. And he's really going to talk about why Shackley and why now. So if you have people in the Chicagoland area, get them to the event. We still have a few tickets left. We pulled about 32 tickets this weekend, so lots of folks are either remembering about the event or getting their tickets in. So we had a lot of sales this weekend, so we have a few tickets left. We want to make sure that we fill the room and get everybody there that's on your team to the event. So just wanted to remind everybody about that. And you can find the information at glackenhealth.com. There is an events tab in the drop-down menu, and you just go to the Team Glacken Leadership Summit. Okay, so today we're going to talk about our list of names and our fishing holes. So it's really the third step in the process. So when you think about the process, you think about the fact that you need a dream, you need a vision, you need a why, you need to know why you're building the business. The second step is that you have to make a commitment to that dream. You have to commit in a number of different ways. We commit to our business by showing up. We commit to our business with our autoship. We commit to our business by working consistently and having time slotted out. The third step in the process is we need a list of names. We need people to prospect. We need people to go out and talk to. I really don't care how the names get to your list. You know, I've had people ask me before, you know, can I buy names? Can I get names off of social media? Can I go through the phone book? Can I use my closest friends and family? All of those things are a resounding yes. It really doesn't matter how the names get to the list. It's really what we do with that list once we have it, because we've got to get in touch with those people somehow, some way. And, of course, depending on the relationship you have with somebody, that's going to determine what you're going to say to them and how you're going to share Shackley. But the whole goal is we've got to have as big of a list as we possibly can so that we have lots and lots of people to go out and talk to. So let's first talk about the list of names. How do you guys feel about your list of names? Is there anybody who's got some questions or concerns about their list? Does everybody have a strong, vibrant, dynamic list of names? And don't all talk at once. Does everybody know where their list of names is? One of the things, go ahead. Somebody going to share? One of the things that I find with new people is that new people are willing. Is that you, Dorothy? I keep feeling like I'm hearing somebody starting to talk. So one of the things I find with new people is that they will go out and they'll create their list. They'll spend time. They'll sit down with maybe a hot cup of energy. You know, they'll check the 180T. They'll sit down and they'll, you know, work on their list. They'll sort of rack their brain of everybody that they know. But once they create their list, they sort of set it off to the side and they never look at it again. And our list of names is supposed to be a working list of names. It's supposed to be a vibrant document that we continually go back to, because we're supposed to take names off the list and add names to the list. So as you talk to people, you're obviously taking names off the list, and once you take a name off, we want to replenish it with a new name. Now, you can only replenish names if you have a lot of fishing holes, and we are going to talk about fishing holes in a moment here. But to begin with, I really want to talk about the list of names. How many of you are using a working list of names? Anybody willing to share? Are you using a working list of names?
This is Linda in PA, and I am relaunching, as you know, and I'm going to just jump in just to say that I have a box of names that I had gotten in the past, and then because life happened, I didn't get to follow up with some of them. And so part of what I want to do is simply go back to the box of people who said, yes, you can send me something, and they may or may not still be interested. But that would be one category of person that's a slightly stale lead from the past is one category. And then another one is members who haven't ordered in a while. So I am adding those two, to the list. And then there's the hotter ones that are people who actually need work right now or are going to be retiring soon. And so I'm working on that and trying to figure out whether I'm going to do it on Excel or on a Evernote or on a piece of paper. So those are just some thoughts I have. I'm still right in the forming it right now process.
Fabulous, fabulous. And thank you for sharing, Linda. I know sometimes our calls are quiet, and it's challenging to do an interactive call when it's quiet, but I appreciate anybody who's willing to share. So it doesn't matter, like you said, some of the names are stale. Who knows what's happening in their lives? It could be the time right now that they're ripe and ready for Shackley, or maybe it's not. But it's that case with everyone that we talk to, so it really doesn't matter. We just need to have a working list of names and then start working that list. So bravo for you for pulling those names back out. Yes, our customer base of people who haven't ordered in a while, that's a great place to try to stimulate some Shackley usage. We've got great product guides. We've got information we can share, just to try and get them back on product. One of the things I always love to ask members who haven't purchased in a while is I'll say, what can I do to earn your business back? Just a basic question, and I like to get that on the phone in a second, ask some questions, find out what's going on for them. I found people who didn't like a product and didn't share that, or I've had people who, for whatever reason, maybe they thought that the cost was too high and they stopped buying the product, and so then we can start talking about the business opportunity. There's just so many reasons to get back in touch with people who are former customers, or maybe they're still in your database and just haven't bought in a while. Okay, the list of names. Anybody else want to add anything about the list of names? And making sure you've always, if you haven't done it in a while, you want to go back and redo your list of names and think about anybody that you've known in your entire life. Those names should be on there, and I did use the word should. I tell you a lot of times don't should on yourself, but you want to make sure that every name that you have ever come in contact with, that you have it captured somewhere. It does not mean that you have to call these people. So please don't get, start having heart palpitations and, oh, my goodness, I don't want to call so-and-so. It doesn't matter. The key here is that you want all of the names listed on paper, because when you put one name down, a lot of times it triggers another name. Maybe you think about a friend from high school, and all of a sudden you think about the group of people you hung out with, and you go on Facebook and you start to try and connect with some of those people. It triggers a lot of thoughts. So you want every name of everybody that you've ever been in contact with. And the network marketing number is 108 names that you want to have on a list, 108, and I know it's a weird number. It's not 100. It's not 110. It's 108. And that comes from Psychology Today, and they say that if you start with 108 names on your list, that you will actually never run out of people to talk to, as long as you're constantly taking off and replenishing, because you can have your first grand opening and you could invite close to 100 people, and so you could have touched base with all of those people. So you want to constantly be adding to that list. But think through your phone records. If you have your cell phone, what are all the names on your cell phone? Think about if you were going to get married, who would you send out a wedding announcement to? If you're going to have a birth of a child or a grandchild, who would you send that out to? If you do Christmas cards, who would you send the cards to? If you do holiday cards, if you're having a bar mitzvah, whatever you can think of that would be a big event in your life, who would you invite or who would you want to tell and notify? So that's the first step. So anybody else have any comments about the list of names?
Can I add a comment? This is Teresa.
Please.
I think it's really important to put it on paper, one of the pieces of that. And, like, I have it on my desk in a notebook. And so it's in front of me and I see. Because I think what can happen over time is that the list of names gets lost somewhere on our desk. We forget to add to it. So if it's in front of you, it's out on a piece of paper or in a notebook. You see it, and then it becomes a daily activity. So I subconsciously now, without even trying, every day I'm adding to that list of names. But I got to tell you, if it's put away somewhere or when it's on my computer, you know, if I do it that way, I don't add to the list because it's not in front of me. So I'm staring at that list every day. So I think that's what makes it a useful list, right? An active, growing list.
Right. Well, and you just hit the nail on the head here. If it's not in front of you, you're not going to utilize it. And so you want to make sure that it's out and in front of you. And it has to be, you can't fill out the list of names one time and then shove it under a pile of papers and think that, oh, yeah, I created my list. Now I'm going to go on and build my business. That document, that list of names, that is building your business. That is the gold mine. That's what you bring to the table is your list of names and your contact sphere. When people say, you know, what's the biggest commodity in this business, it's your list of names. It's your contacts because that's your potential master coordinatorship right there on paper, and we need to make sure we capture it. What are some other thoughts about the list of names? Anything else anybody would like to add before we move into fishing holes?
Jennifer, it's Jackie. I have my list of names, and it's a big, pretty big list of names, but it's really, really stale. And I was looking through it, and a lot of the people are already members. I haven't marked them off. So I decided to take that one and start a new one, take all the names that are that I should have removed. I won't put them on there and add more names and just keep a nice, fresh one for 2019 and not let it get stale. And like Teresa said, keep it in front of me all the time.
Good. Yes. And bravo to you for realizing that it's stale, and bravo to you for saying, you know, you've made a commitment to get a new active list, because I think all of us at different times have had a stale list because we forget about it. And like Teresa said, you know, it gets lost. It's not sitting out on the desk. It's not in front of us. And so it gets lost and we don't see it again. Any other comments about the list of names? Okay. And we can come back to that at any point. So if you have something that you want to add, please don't hesitate to go back to that. So let's talk a little bit about fishing holes, because if you've got your list of names and you look at that list of names and you go, gosh, you know, I've got 108 names here, but it's going to be tough to call some of these people. I haven't talked to them in a long time, or whatever the reason might be. It might be difficult to call some of the people. You might need some newer names. Maybe you need some people that are a little bit fresher, a little closer to you. And that's where we go into thinking about our fishing holes and where are we currently meeting people. Now, Teresa, you do a ton of networking, and so I'm going to just pick on you for a second, and then, Dorothy, I'm going to ask you the same thing because I think both of you guys do a lot of networking. What are some of the different places that you're meeting new people? So, Teresa, just sort of to give some people some ideas if maybe they're not out there doing some of the networking things that you're doing. Where do you meet people?
So I'm involved in several different chambers, so that probably is the biggest way that I'm meeting people. So I'm going to, I guess you could say, open networking events in the evenings. I go to women's luncheons. I'm at coffee breakfasts. And so these are events where, some are non-compete, which means several people from the same industry can be there. And then I'm also in networking groups where those are closed groups, so only one from one industry can be in that, and the idea is that we're going to all help each other find referrals. So I'm in several. And what I really look at is my calendar that I'm trying to get out to, you know, at least at the bare minimum, one event a week. But on several weeks, I might be at three or four events a week that are events where I'm meeting new people. So I'm throwing myself out of my comfort zone. I'm going to an event where I know no one, and I'm going in and just meeting those people. So I'm constantly looking at, you know, how many times am I out and about where I'm meeting new people during the week.
Excellent. Very good. And, Dorothy, I know you do a lot of networking as well. So what are some of the places that you're out networking and meeting new people?
Well, first and foremost, ditto to everything that Teresa just said. Like I said, I started networking probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it's basically helping to get that list of names, because networking is all about building the relationships. So, but I am involved in 2 chambers. It's like, I think, 5 networking groups, and like she had said, some of them are seat-specific and some of them aren't. But it's basically just going out, so you just basically get up, get dressed, and sometimes, I will be honest with you, there's times where I'm at 2 to 3 different events in a day's time. So Wednesdays and Thursdays are our busiest days, and so can I just say to go out and share, because I really truly believe that people don't know what we know, and I was one of those people 12 years ago. So networking works. It's a lot of fun. It's about building relationships. But like I said, sometimes it's breakfast. There's ladies' groups. It's like, and then there's groups where there's men and women. It's like, but like I said, it's education, and education, because I really truly believe that people just don't know what we know. So it's our job to help them.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'm a part of a networking group, too, and you guys have heard me talk about this sometimes on these calls, the Business Networkers International, which is similar to what Teresa and Dorothy were just talking about as far as a closed group, so that it's one person per category. So I have the nutrition seat in that organization, and it's all about networking and developing referral relationships. So I pass referrals to the people in the group, and they pass referrals to me. I'm also in a couple of things that weren't mentioned here, and so I'll just share those, and then we can talk about anything else as far as fishing holes. I joined a new neighbor league when I moved to the area. Some areas have them called Welcome Wagon. Other groups have, you know, different names or different, I mean, I should say different areas in the country have different names. Marianne, I know you just moved back from out of the country, and so maybe even joining some type of a new neighbor group or Welcome Wagon would be great for you, because it's when you're new. When you just moved into the area, it's a chance to get you connected. The new neighbor league here in Toledo has about 150 women that are a part of it. And in my head, I thought, okay, that's just a great chance to meet lots and lots of people, which has been exactly that. It's been very helpful for me in my business. I also have met a lot of people through the places that I work out. I do Bikram yoga, and I also have a trainer. The trainer is on my Shackley team as a business builder, and the Bikram yoga studio is also a business builder on my team. That didn't happen right away. That took time, and it took time for me being consistent and going there and working out. I joined a Bible study, and I joined a book club when I first moved to the Toledo area. So I've been here for about 5, almost 6 years now. And so all of those things have been fabulous fishing holes for me. One thing I do want to say about those, though, and I think anybody here who's looking at fishing holes would concur, sometimes the fishing holes themselves become stale because you've already gone through all of those people. So for me, the book club that I'm a part of, there's 6 women who are in the book club. And when I first joined the book club, there were 14, and it seemed like there were constantly people being added. Well, a lot of people have moved out of the area, and the book club just hasn't continued to grow. So because it's gotten smaller and smaller, the chance for me to go and make that a fishing hole has gone down. It's diminished greatly. So you have to look at that. When you're in a fishing hole, is it a place that you can meet new people? If you're in a networking group or a breakfast club, even if it's a breakfast club and there's 5 women that go or 10 women that go, and it's the same 10 women all the time, once you've met with all of them and you've shared Shackley, you need to get to their contacts, or you've got to look at another fishing hole. So those are my couple of comments on fishing holes. Who else would like to share about fishing holes that you're a part of that you're using to build your business?
This is Linda Rica from Pennsylvania, and I'm fun, so I have activities, and my activities have always been a way of making networking connections everywhere I go, and so I'm involved in sailing, and my most recent distributor is someone I met through my sailing activities, is also a sailor, and I've been a musician, so I've met people through music, and a number of my, you know, downline distributors and members are, you know, people I originally met through music and then just continue to develop the relationship bit by bit, like watering flowers over time rather than just dumping a lot of water on a plant and then forgetting about it. I've done that too. And then another place is, I remember Dr. Alan Somersault talked years ago about the categories of people to look for who were good prospects, and one of them was the friendly under-earner who has like great customer service skills, like a waitress. And so we were dining out the other day and just got the waitress talking about her job and her life and her plans, and learned she was leaving her job and mentioned this to her in the form of a question, and she was immediately interested in finding out more. So part of it is to find the people who have great customer service skills and are being paid minimum wage for them, and, you know, or people who might be doing training on the job and not getting paid any extra for the training that they're doing, and to simply say, you know, if I could show you a way to be using your customer service and training skills and getting more reward for it that would go on over time, would you be interested in learning a little bit more?
Absolutely. And something that you just pointed out, Linda, is that going out into our everyday life is a great way to meet people. If we are friendly, if we go out and we talk to people, we can get into lots of conversations. Now, for the extrovert, that's a little bit easier than the introvert, because the introvert tends to sit there and not really want to talk to anybody new. And so sometimes we have to develop that skill within ourselves. But we can meet people every single day in all of the things that we do, whether we go, I'm going to get an oil change this afternoon, so when I get the oil change, I'm sure I'm going to meet people that are there. And it's having the mindset that everybody is a prospect, and that everybody, if we ask questions and get into conversations, it could lead to a Shackley conversation. Doesn't mean it has to, but it could if we develop the skills to learn how to ask questions well. Who else would like to add something about fishing holes? Maybe a fishing hole that you're a part of that you didn't hear mentioned here, which there's loads and loads of fishing holes not mentioned here, so hopefully some folks have some other ideas of some fishing holes. Becky, where are some of the places that you're meeting people?
Well, it's funny. The last person was talking about prospecting, cold prospecting out, and you said it's easier for maybe I had to train myself because I am an introvert, but that's where I shine, I found. I've been doing it, forcing myself to do it. And, for example, I had a guy that I was at the Gap in Northbrook, which is kind of an affluent area, and the two people that were waiting on people, I was really hoping to get the guy because he was so much nicer than the girl, and I got the guy, and he was probably in his 40s, and I asked him his name, and I said, is this what you do, or is there something else that you do on the side? And he said, no, this is it. And I said, do you take vitamins? He goes, yeah, I do. And I said, would you like to look at something else? I mean, I forgot exactly what I said, but he let me send him a video. I said, I'll go to my car and I'll do it right now. He gave me his email and his phone number, and I sent him Roger Barnett, the 3-minute one for the chairman of Shackley. And I followed up. Did you get a chance to watch it? He said, it looks, it was really interesting, but it looks like you're looking for salespeople. So I put, that would be one way of putting it, is what I text him back. I said, right now I'm just interested in getting through the first step, which is finding out if you're interested in looking at it. And we've been going back and forth, and he is interested. So I do it all the time with the cleanse. I found myself at Whole Foods, even at the checkout, and they'll, you know, I'll just say, oh, it's my sixth of my seventh day on the cleanse, and they're like, you doing a cleanse? And then the lady was recommending oranges at Whole Foods. And one thing I found when I was at Whole Foods with the lady with oranges is I had a little time on my hands. We sat there and had a 20-minute conversation, and we've been in touch back and forth a little bit. But to have that extra time is rare. Usually I'm going, and I don't have the time to have a meaningful conversation. So that put me in another mindset, too. It's like, well, make sure you leave that wiggle room when you can.
Good point. Very good point. Because if you don't have time to have the conversations, you're going to be running in and running out, and you're just going to be, you know, quick, grab everything and put it in your cart and go. So good tip.
Thanks.
Anybody else want to add some thoughts on fishing holes? Any fishing holes that you have for yourself personally that you didn't hear mentioned here? Or maybe there's a fishing hole that you did hear mentioned and you just want to add a nugget about it. Anybody else have any thoughts on the fishing holes?
Yeah, this is Stacy.
Hi.
My husband and I, we do a lot of volunteer for business owners, because for us it is a huge fishing hole. A lot of business owners already have a business established, but they have not their health because they're working 24/7. So building those relationships does take time. However, it has, like, been a huge blessing just because of that aspect. You know, a lot of them are unaware because they're so busy. They don't have time to look into their health. They'll just go to the doctor really quick when they have a sniffle instead of, hey, what are you doing to take care of yourself? And just having those conversations. And I find by volunteering, they actually appreciate, and then they will give you their time. And so that's been huge for us.
Excellent idea. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. So thanks for sharing that, Stacey. Great idea. Anybody else want to share? Go ahead.
Linda Rico from PA. Just wanted to make sure if people aren't aware of it, there's an app called Nextdoor.com. Nextdoor.com, and you have to be somehow invited or vetted or some kind of way that you get into it. And it is what I'd say geologically located near you. People who are near you, the internet figures out that you might all be part of the same neighborhood. And people will be posting all sorts of things in there about how they, you know, need a reliable repair person, or they're, you know, selling a mower or things like that, or just, you know, crime watch, or just different neighborly chitty chat things that used to just happen organically when you walked around the block, and now it's online. But I've made some good connections through that because you know that they're nearby. And I think people do post things about their businesses there, so it's not forbidden or looked down upon. And the other thing would be virtual garage sales through Facebook, again, is geographically located in whatever area you specify. And then you have to be a little more careful on Facebook, though, to, you know, build a rapport or genuine rapport first with somebody, maybe over something that they're selling that you're interested in, and then go from there into a conversation. Now, yesterday I had a 40-minute conversation with a woman who responded through FreeCycle. Long story, looking for a toilet, found a toilet. In the process of finding a free toilet, I get talking with her about how good it is to save things and not waste them, and how great a group like FreeCycle is because it's people keeping things out of landfills, which leads to a natural conversation about green products and green business. And she was definitely interested in learning more about Shockley when I made the connection with her over our shared values.
Really good resources. Thank you for sharing those. And, you know, something next door is something that I've used for years. I think it's a fabulous resource. And there's a lot of different pages on Facebook. So you mentioned, like, the FreeCycle. In the town that I live in Perrysburg, Ohio. And in Perrysburg, there's a Perrysburg page. There's a Perrysburg garage sale page. There's a Perrysburg Historic District page. And so there's probably a page on Facebook for your town. And that's the place that a lot of people are looking for tips. I've actually been tagged. I was tagged yesterday in a post for somebody who was looking for environmentally safe cleaning products. And so somebody obviously knew that I sold the cleaning products, and they tagged me in that post. And so on Facebook, I've been connected to this woman yesterday, and we've been chatting back and forth on Facebook. So you never know where a referral will come from. You never know where a link will come from, new connections. And so just keep yourself open to the possibilities. If you don't have enough fishing holes, if your names feel stale, or your list of names, you're thinking, gosh, I need to add to this, I've got to figure out a way to grow it, then just be aware that there's a lot of different opportunities out there. The more fishing holes you have, the easier it is to keep that list growing. And so it's the third step in the process. We need a robust list in order to make those contacts and those connections so that we can develop our team and develop our organization. So thank you so much to everybody who participated this morning. I hope you have a fabulous Shockley day and a fabulous Shockley week. We'll be here same time, same place next Monday. And hopefully I will see lots of you in Chicago this weekend. So God bless everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.